You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Carla Ulbrich, and you're listening to The Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is The Flopcast, episode 340.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hello there, Kevin.
What are we doing today? I think we have some Halloween wrap-up talk.
Yeah.
Remember Halloween? It was quite a while ago by the time the show comes out.
And yet, I still have some candy left over somehow.
I have not actually spoken with you since Halloween, so we're going to run through our Halloween activities and maybe one or two other things, and then we'll try to get out of here.
Okay.
We've got to make this a quick show, because it's getting late.
Yes, at the time that we are recording.
Even though the show just started, we started doing this very late tonight, and we're sleepy.
So.
We have coffee. I have hot coffee. You have iced coffee.
I have my iced coffee.
By law.
I am loving it.
It feels so weird. I'm making iced coffee in November.
I was thinking about this iced coffee all day, Kevin. I was thinking, I get to go to flop recording, and I know winter's right around the corner, but I get to have iced coffee.
All winter long.
Because I am a champion.
Because you want to bet. And now I'm making iced coffee all winter. Well, enjoy, and let's get through this coffee-fueled show as we do every week. Cornflake, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
So there's a festive occasion coming up for us creative types, Kevin. I'm talking about November 15th is I Love to Write Day.
Mm-hmm.
National I Love to Write Day.
All right.
And you and I both do a fair amount of writing.
We do some writing. I don't know if I do a lot of writing.
But most recently, you've been writing for Tales of the Station Volume 3, right?
I am a published author, yes. last year and this year, I contributed a weird short story to the science fiction anthology books published by our own ESO network. Yes, Tales from the Station Volume 2 and Volume 3. Each contain a weird story by me.
And we've both been known to write some wacky songs.
That's true. I've written songs. Not recently. And by recently, I mean not in almost 20 years. I'm in kind of a dry spell with songwriting. You can tell by how active my band is, right?
Right.
Sponge Awareness Foundation. We're not exactly cranking out the hits these days, are we?
Well, I guess you could celebrate I Used to Love to Write Day.
I feel like I can write, but not very quickly.
I guess.
Every sentence is a struggle.
Perhaps you don't love to write.
I don't think I do.
No.
Although, you know, there's not just that pompous line, you know, oh, I don't like to write, but I love having written. You know, I don't know who said that. It's a super obnoxious quote. And I wouldn't go that far because that just sounds so stupid.
I'll have to look at the National Day calendar and see if there is a National I Tolerate Writing Day because that might be more appropriate. Well, Kevin, I love writing. I don't write as much creative material nowadays.
Yeah.
I haven't had the opportunity to really sit down and write songs. But what I do love to write is letters and cards for people.
Sure. Ransom notes.
Those two.
Yep.
I write a really good ransom note.
I'll bet you do. They pay up.
I think it's also a great day to celebrate all the people in our lives that really love to write. Because I don't know about you, but I have a number of friends who are authors or
name it. We run with a very talented, creative crowd. And thus, many of my friends are novelists. And I feel guilty that I have not read all their books.
I feel the same. So
it makes me crazy that I have good friends who have written novels that I have not read, and I want to read them.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
I'm in the middle of a novel by a friend of ours right now, but I hardly ever have time to read, so it's taking me months to get through this thing.
The most interesting thing happened the other day. I got something from Amazon in the mail, and I had not ordered anything.
Mm.
So I was very surprised.
Was it a chicken?
It was not a chicken. It was a book. So
book about chickens?
Speaking, no. So I open up the envelope and there's a book inside and it's called All Across China. And it's written and illustrated by my friend Ellen Weisberg and her husband Ken Yaffe. So I have friends who go out of their way to send me their wonderful books.
Well, I've read our friend Matthew Dix. I've read all his novels. He has a new book out called Storyworthy, not a novel. It's a book about storytelling, how to be an effective storyteller. And I have it. I look forward to the day that I actually start reading it. Van Allen Plexico, novelist, who I see down at Dragon Con. I've read two of his books now. I read one new book of his just this year. It's called Vegas Heist. It's like a gang of guys trying to rob a casino in Las Vegas in the 1960s. Wow. So that one I actually read this year and enjoyed. But he has like, I don't know, a dozen or so other books that I've not gotten around to yet. I don't know when I'm ever going to have time to read them. Our friend Kate Shaw from the Strange Animals podcast has written a lot of stuff. And I know I have not read all of her books. I've read a couple. I'm in the middle of one of her books right now. I'm reading Skytown.
That was the one that I remember you talking about.
Well, I'm still reading it because I never have time to read. So I read about three or four pages every few days. So it's going to take me a long time. It's a super fun book. It's about steampunk pirates, like flying around in an airship.
That's cool.
To like two young women who are steampunk pirates. And yeah, the ESO anthologies are super fun. Tales from the Station, volumes 1, 2, and 3. Find a weird story from me in volume 2 and volume 3. But all three are available. All three you should get. They're fun. They're cool. Yeah,
like, I've only read two.
You read so volume far. 2?
Yeah. So I still need to read volumes 1 and 3.
Yes.
I'll get right on that.
Please do.
So for all of you who love to write, happy November 15th.
And this is like the November's the novel writing month, whatever they call that.
NaNoWriMo?
Yeah. So people are frantically writing big weird novels right now.
And they're also growing facial hair because it's No Shave November, right?
Oh my, okay.
Because if not, I'm going to get rid of this mustache right now. It's awkward.
All right, happy writing day, whatever it was called. I already forgot. But moving on.
Another memorable national whatever day.
All right, let's roll back to Halloween, because I had a very busy Halloween season. The weekend before Halloween, I went to a Halloween-themed birthday party at like a weird club. It was like a club attached to Gillette Stadium, where the New England Patriots football team plays. There's like a whole weird little mall kind of with clubs and whatnot and restaurants and stuff. And this was like a club, bar, slash bowling alley. Like there's bowling lanes in it, which we didn't do any bowling. We were just hanging around. It's a piano bar. Like there were these people playing pianos, taking requests and stuff. So we're hanging
drunken
out there.
Piano bowling?
Drunken Piano Bowling is the name of the place, yes. So we went there. The mayor of Chickentown was in her rubber chicken suit. I'm not making that up.
So festive. I love her rubber chicken costume.
And I was in a bird suit also. I was in a bird mask.
Yeah, your mask was... I've seen pictures. I found you had a really cool mask.
Just a creepy bird mask, like a crow kind of, like a big scary black bird. Mm-hmm. And I thought, all right, creepy bird mask, that can be my costume. And I was going to do like a whole bird suit, like with feathers and wings and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was a real rainy, stormy night.
Yeah.
And I thought, these feathers are not going to survive.
They get ruined.
The trip from the car to the drunken bowling place, they're not going to make it. I thought, these feathers are going to be ripped off of me, and they're going to float up into the sky, into the storm. They're going to settle down on the football field inside Gillette Stadium. And then Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are going to slip on feathers during the next game they play there, and they're going to blame me when they lose.
Right.
So I left the feathers in the car.
Good.
So all I had was the bird mask inside the drunken piano bowling bar.
Patriot Nation thanks you.
They thank me. They owe me. They are correct. Yeah, I was with my football buddy there, actually, Brittany. It was Brittany's birthday party. And a bunch of our wacky friends gathered to celebrate with bird masks.
Fun.
So that was goofy. And Halloween Day itself, I went to a Halloween morning concert.
Morning.
10:30 in the morning.
Why?
Who would be so into Halloween that they would perform at 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Jessica and Sergio from Anaria.
Oh.
Because they're way into Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah, they put on a Halloween concert at a library.
That's really neat.
Yeah, and who's crazy enough to show up for that?
You.
That'd be me. Yeah. I think I'm the only person they knew who showed up. There was a big crowd in the room, but I think it was all like locals, and they did like Halloween music. So they did.
What is Halloween music?
Well, it was a mix of all kinds of a lot of like
Thriller. And
yes,
Ghostbusters
they opened with Thriller. They didn't do Ghostbusters. This was just Jessica singing, you know, who sings beautifully, and Sergio playing acoustic guitar. So yeah, Ghostbusters would have been tricky.
Plus, they could have gotten sued.
They would have been sued. It's by Huey Lewis. Oddly enough. Oh, they also did Sally's theme from Nightmare Before Christmas, which you have yet to experience.
The movie I'm watching.
Which I think we're going to do something about that very soon.
For November.
Yes, that's coming soon. But a week from now, you will understand what I'm talking about when I say they did Sally's theme from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Because I don't even know who Sally is.
So, yeah, that was really the only thing I actually did on Halloween itself. Because Halloween night, I was just hiding in the house. I didn't even answer the door. The mayor handled the stupid kids at the door.
I was wondering if you put a bowl out, and if so, what you put in the bowl for the kids to take.
We had stuff for the kids, kind of just like generic stuff, not too good, not too bad.
On a scale of Tootsie Roll to Peanut Butter Cup. What quality, caliber candy are we talking?
You can go a lot lower than Tootsie Roll, can't you?
You can go Necco Wafer.
Get into the Necco Wafer, the Jawbreaker.
The Smarties.
I like Smarties.
I like Smarties too, but not when there are Twix and peanut butter cups to be had.
The lowly Milk Dud.
I like Milk Duds.
They take too long.
As long as they're not totally stale.
If you're enjoying like a Reese's cup or a little fun-sized Snicker bar, and then you hit a Milk Dud, and then suddenly there's a hard stop and you're chomping because now this Milk Dud is going to tie you up for the next several minutes.
Sometimes that's the only way to get me to slow down.
You need a Milk Dud just to pump the brakes a little bit. That's a good point. All right.
As long as you didn't put out a bowl of broccoli for the kids.
We probably should have been providing Milk Duds in retrospect. But yeah, very few kids showed up anyway. We had like, I don't know, like 11 or 12 kids all night, I think.
The ones who drew the short straws had to come.
Yeah, not many kids show up.
Chicken Town.
The moat helps a lot. Having the moat surrounding us is a big help. Really cuts down. Yeah. And then you fish a few bodies out in the morning, you know. Not many actually make it to the door, so it's fine.
See, we just put out our Christmas decorations.
Mm.
Right.
Just to scare people away?
Exactly. They're like, well, this household has clearly bypassed this holiday.
I guess we're late. They'll be showing up in July next year looking for their Milk Duds and Necco Wafers. The weekend after Halloween, we just went on tour. We did a Halloween tour of New England.
What comprises a Halloween tour?
We had Halloween business throughout New England. I carved a pumpkin.
I saw the picture of your pumpkin.
Did you see my pumpkin?
Yes.
Yeah, because I try to carve at least one pumpkin every year. And you know my pumpkins. They take a long time to do.
It's a big, good-looking pumpkin.
Thank you. It's a big project.
Right, because you're not just cutting holes in a pumpkin.
I do a...
There are gradations of carvings.
I do a fully sculpted, painted pumpkin. And we packed it in the car, and we drove to Connecticut. We have crazy friends in Connecticut who put on a huge, wild Halloween party every year. We made a couple of stops along the way, though. We stopped at a cider place, Stafford Cidery, down in Connecticut.
I've not heard of this place.
They had, like, I think 11 different kinds of cider were on tap.
Wow.
When we were there. We tried them all. Little sample sizes, mind you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, otherwise we never would have made it.
I was going to say,
never would have made it to the party.
Do you remember the rest of this weekend?
Yeah, we were just face down on the bar the rest of the night. Very nice place, very cool people running this place, had a lovely time talking to them, hanging out. And we should mention, this place completely decorated in chicken stuff.
No way.
It's all chicken stuff inside.
Are they like that all the time, or did they hear that you were coming?
This was not because we were coming, it was not for Halloween.
It's just because they know how to decorate in style then.
They made a place just for us.
Wow.
It was the best.
It's like they're trying to get you to move to Connecticut or something, right?
Well, we left there and stopped for dinner deeper into Connecticut, a place called the Corner Pug, which is a pug-themed restaurant.
At first I thought you had said it wrong. Corner Pug, you say?
Yeah, like as in those weird little dogs.
Yes,
you know,
with the flat faces.
With the flat faces, sure. Because the mayor is way into pugs. It's her favorite dog is the pug. She's the mayor of Chickentown, but she also is way into pugs.
They are adorable.
And we heard pug-themed restaurant down in Connecticut. So we stopped there. We chicken-themed cidery, next stop, pug-themed restaurant. And they have just millions of pictures of pugs all over the place inside, as you might guess.
My goodness.
Yeah. Nice place. Had a lovely time there as well. As you may recall, we like pugs and we like pug theater. We went to a Shakespearean production, which was, the whole cast was pugs. Do you remember?
Puglet, right?
We went to Puglet a few years ago. Yes. An all-pug production of Hamlet.
Yes.
Called Puglet. That's how into pugs we are.
I got to tell you, Kevin, for all the complaining we do about Connecticut, they actually have some pretty cool stuff down
there. There's some good stuff going on down there. Do we complain about Connecticut?
Well, we make fun of it.
Yeah. We make fun of everything, though.
That's true.
We have a bad attitude.
We really need to clean up our act. So, shape up.
Our final stop in Connecticut was the actual party, which it was great. I had my full bird suit that night.
Ah, okay. This time rain.
I brought. It was not a rainy night. Eddie Rabbit was disgusted, but I had my wings, I had my feathers, I had my creepy bird mask.
That's so cool.
Yeah. One lady at the party, friend of ours, way into the feathers. She was all hands. Yeah. Couldn't keep her hands off my feathers. But it was fine.
I was going to say, you sure know how to attract them.
Just dress up like a bird, fellows. Having trouble with the ladies? Get yourself a big weird crow suit.
You won't be able to keep them away.
So we stayed down in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, we just headed north.
Yeah.
And kept going. Blazed through Massachusetts, kept going. Up straight up to Vermont.
I was about to ask if you stopped before you hit Canada.
We did not go that far north yet.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's speaking French. Well, how far did we go? Stupid GPS. No, we were aiming for Vermont, and we did stop in time. We were in Vermont when we came to a stop.
In fairness, you get a certain amount north in Vermont, and you do start to get some of the Canadian radio stations.
Some of the Quebeciness of it all starts filtering down into the States.
They're fun.
Sure. Love it. Oh, Canada's great. But we were not going that far, but we were going to Vermont, and we were up there for a Halloween-themed wedding.
Which just sounds really cool to me.
Halloween wedding, Cornflake. Yeah, that was nice. Lovely, lovely ceremony when many good friends of ours were there, and dear friends of ours getting married, so congratulations on a spectacular Halloween wedding. I was not in the bird suit for the wedding.
I don't know why that disappoints me. But I guess it's because I had pictured it before you said it, and now my whole mental landscape is just ruined by the lack of bird.
We were still relatively Halloweenish, though.
All right, so you were like a big black bird in spirit at the wedding. Okay, well, I feel a little better now.
It was great. It was lovely. Brittany and I still managed to sneak away and watch the football game.
That doesn't shock me in the slightest.
We have our priorities.
Right.
Come on. That was great. And came creeping back down the following day. So, yeah, I was running around doing quite a few Halloween things. Very uncharacteristic of me.
Well, I was also running around doing some Halloween things.
You were passing out Necco wafers, I assume?
Yeah, I also descended into Connecticut for Halloween.
You were in Connecticut?
Yeah.
On Halloween itself?
No, just before Halloween.
Weekend before Halloween?
Yes.
Oh, this is what you mentioned that you were going to be doing.
Yes.
Yes. I remember what this is, and it's bizarre.
Well, you know how I love a good aquarium, Kevin.
Yes, you're way into fish.
I have seen the New England Aquarium more than once.
You're currently wearing, you people listening cannot see this, but Cornflake is wearing an Abe Vigoda t-shirt right now. That's how into fish you are.
So, yes, I've been to the New England Aquarium certainly my fair share of times. And
well, that's the one in Boston.
Yeah, the one in Boston I like well enough.
Sure.
They've also got penguins. And
the New England Aquarium, not only do they have penguins, but you can learn to walk like a penguin.
Exactly.
It's based on the commercials they used to run 40 years ago.
I remember those, and that's...
I think we have that. We have a link to that on the Flopcast YouTube channel, I believe.
Prior to just before Halloween, I had never been to the Mystic Aquarium before.
Yeah, down in Mystic, Connecticut.
Heck of a drive.
There's the Mystic Seaport down there, and they have an aquarium.
Yes.
And they have pizza.
I'll get to that.
Oh, please do. Ooh, there's a tease. Okay, well, do go on.
We saw that there was going to be some sort of Halloween shindig at the Mystic Aquarium that included underwater pumpkin carving.
This is what you had mentioned this to me a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Underwater pumpkin carving, I'd never heard of.
And unfortunately, Kevin, by the time I got there, the underwater pumpkin carving had already been completed.
You missed the underwater pumpkin carving?
So I'll,
this is what I thought we were building to all this time.
I know, but...
Now I'm furious. I will stop this podcast right now and turn around.
Well, the part that I did see was the jack-o'-lanterns underwater and how
the remains of the underwater pumpkin carving.
Yes.
But the skeptic in me can't help but think, well, there's no evidence that those were carved underwater. It looks like they could have just thrown them in.
I have, since that day, been looking for footage online to see if anybody put on YouTube the actual carving, because...
There's none to be found.
But you're right. For all we know, we could have they could have just chucked in the already carved.
This could all be a hoax, just like the moon landing.
It's quite possible. Thank you. So having missed that, I walked around to see what else there was, and yep. There was a... I think it was a jug band. Was it a jug band?
I think it was a jug band.
Well, okay.
Well, let me ask a few questions.
There was a lack of jugs.
Is there a guy with a jug? No, there wasn't.
Okay. So,
was it Mungo Jerry?
No, sadly no. That would have been really cool.
They only come out in the summertime.
That's true. When the weather is high?
Yeah.
You can stretch right up and touch the sky.
Pretty sure Mungo Jerry was very, very high. So you saw some sea lions.
Yes, I got to see the sea lion show. They came out and they did tricks and...
The sea lions formed their own jug band.
They did.
Pretty good.
By this point, I'm pretty hungry. And then I put two and two together and I realize this is the land of Mystic Pizza.
People may recall the movie from like... 30 years ago.
1988.
It is exactly 30 years ago then. Yeah, Mystic Pizza. Good movie.
Which, by the way, was a movie that I had never seen. I go to the pizza place.
Yeah.
And they've got all of this memorabilia type stuff from the movie. And
sure.
In every part of the pizzeria, there is a screen and the movie just plays.
It's just playing on a loop?
On a loop.
Wow. They've really just committed to the movie then.
They've committed to the movie. Right. And
I guess that makes sense.
I highly recommend Mystic Pizza. It was yummy.
But did you start watching just somewhere in the middle of the movie?
Yes. I started watching somewhere in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And there was no sound. But I drove home and I watched the movie.
Okay. So you have actually watched the movie then with sound start to finish.
Yes.
Okay.
So I go home and I watch the movie and, starring Annabeth Gish.
Sure.
Weren't we just talking about her?
We talk about her all the time.
Well, when you were at DragonCon during recap.
I saw Annabeth Gish at DragonCon like 2 months ago, yes.
And she's pretty much the star of this movie.
Yes.
One might say that Julia Roberts was perhaps trying to steal the show.
Yeah, you had Julia who was in it, and she was not well known yet at the time. She was a couple of years away from really, really becoming an A-list superstar, but it was Annabeth and Julia and Lily Taylor.
Was my favorite.
Everybody loves Lily Taylor.
As Jojo Barbosa. She was hysterical. I just loved her.
Yep.
And did you know that this movie was Matt Damon's first time on the big screen?
I didn't know he was in it.
Yeah, he plays a bit part
down
where they are hauling in the fish and taking care of the lobsters and stuff. And the movie has lobsters, by the way.
Does Matt Damon play a lobster?
Yes.
Yes, yes, he does.
He's a lobster.
He's in a lobster costume. I have not actually seen this movie since probably the early to mid-90s, so it was probably before I knew who Matt Damon was.
You know, I may have not gotten to see the pumpkins carved.
Yeah.
But thanks to this trip, I got to have and see some Mystic Pizza.
You went to Mystic for underwater pumpkin carving. You did not get that, but you got your new all-time favorite movie.
I did.
Exaggerating slightly.
Oh, I haven't stopped watching it. Just like Mystic Pizza down in Connecticut, I have that movie going on repeat at my house.
I've seen two of the three stars of that movie in person because I also saw Lily Taylor several years ago. The mayor and I saw Lily speaking at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge.
What else is she in? Because now I want to go and watch everything.
She's been in a bunch of stuff over the years. Say Anything. She's in the John Cusack movie. Remember?
Yes.
Yeah, she's in that. And many other things. I shot Andy Warhol. She's the star of a very cool movie. The night that we saw her speak and do a little Q&A at the Brattle, and they showed that movie. And many, many other things. She's done a lot. One of those actors that just very quietly done very quality work over the years. Lily Taylor.
So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
So that was my Halloween in a nutshell. But
what a weird couple of Halloweens we had.
We did.
I'm glad we could finally compare notes.
I saved some energy, though.
Yeah.
Because the following weekend, I went out to the Extra Life
Gaming. Oh, yeah.
24-hour marathon.
We plugged earlier that this was happening. It's a charity gaming event where people game. They sit at a table and play games for a full 24 hours.
Yes.
And it's a fundraiser.
Our friend Mousy was going to be a part of it all. Now,
yes.
Mousy's been doing this for a few years, and I knew to expect Mousy when I went into the castle on Saturday night. I went in fairly late so that I could help everybody stay awake. What I did not expect, Kevin, was to see Mousy dressed up like a chicken. And it wasn't because the Extra Life players were in costume in general. No.
Right.
Mousy.
Just Mousy.
Just decided. When you have a cool chicken costume, you wear it.
Absolutely.
And that is the philosophy. So
the mayor was in a rubber chicken suit for one of our Halloween parties. Mousy in a chicken suit for the Extra Life gaming event.
Yes.
Wow.
Cool looking chicken costume. I presume the chicken costume had to come off, though, because Mousy had laid out some special stretch goals for fundraising.
Okay.
After hitting 250, Mousy would allow everybody who had stayed until midnight to basically attack with water balloons.
Mm.
And I guess that's twofold. It's fun to throw water balloons, and if you get pelted with a bunch of water balloons, you're probably going to stay awake. It gets crazier, Kevin.
Yeah.
After hitting a goal of, I think, $1,000 in fundraising, the stretch goal there was that Mousy would jump into the ocean.
Oh, no.
At the end of the event.
Wow.
Well, good news and bad news. The goal was hit.
Uh-oh.
I haven't heard from Mousy since, so I personally am a little worried.
Yeah, you better hop down to Mystic and gather up your sea lion friends and get the search party going.
Go rescue Mousy. Mousy had pointed out when we were playing a game called Crazy Cat Lady, which I ended up really liking.
Yeah.
Mousy said that I guess medics were going to be on hand just in case, because the ocean at last check was 49 degrees.
So were several people going to jump in the ocean?
I think Mousy was the only one who agreed to
do
it.
Come on.
But Mousy,
the chicken suit, though, is a flotation device.
Yes, thank goodness.
For safety.
Going to great lengths to raise money for Boston Children's Hospital and Children's Miracle Network.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's wonderful. We appreciate Mousy and everybody across the nation and beyond, I suppose, who participated in the Extra Life event.
I stayed long enough to play a few games.
Yep.
But I couldn't stay for the water ballooning. And around 11 or so, I started yawning and feeling really guilty that I was yawning in front of these people who were going to be up until 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But by that point, some of Mousy's other friends had shown up, so I exited my portion of the watch.
Other people there to keep the momentum going.
But the fact of the matter is, I wasn't prepared to stay up all night long. And the more I saw how much fun everybody was doing this, the more I thought, you know, Kevin, I want to be a participant next year.
Ooh, you're going to play?
Yes.
You going in?
Yes.
That's exciting.
I think I'm going to need some serious help staying awake.
Wow.
Because you know me, I love to curl up and nap in a corner.
Yeah.
But Mousy has been kind of like my inspiration and hero in all of this.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'm not promising anyone I'm jumping in the ocean at the end of it.
No.
I'll have to think of some other stretch goals.
All right. Well, you have a year to prepare. I'm fully supporting you in this. And maybe I'll even stop by, you know, unless I have something else to do that day.
Thanks, Kevin. But I got to tell you, it was really great to see Mousy, and congratulations.
Would it be assuming too much on our part to take credit for inspiring Mousy to wear a chicken suit? Was that Flopcast inspired, or is that me reading too much into this?
I think, like, deep in our hearts, we all know the answer to that question.
I don't think I do. That's why I asked. I'm just going to take full credit.
Okay.
Let's leave it at that. Thank you. I'm a hero.
No matter why, the chicken costume looked so cool. And I can't tell you how big I smiled when I walked into the castle, this gaming, like this, it's this really cool bar.
It's a bar
in Beverly.
And it's a gaming center, and it's in Beverly, Massachusetts.
It is a sight to behold.
Yeah.
And so much fun.
You were entering Beverly, as the great John Forster once sang.
That song.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I did another thing since we last spoke, and I forgot to mention it. I went to see a Yacht Rock concert.
You were mentioning that you were going to go see a Yacht Rock show. How did it go?
You were not familiar with the term Yacht Rock.
I was not. And all I can picture is a yacht rocking to Roxy music, which I know is not what Yacht Rock is.
That's pretty close.
Oh, okay.
Well, Yacht Rock, we've talked about light rock on the show, and that's pretty much the same thing. The light rock, especially of the late 70s and early 80s, people describe that type of music as yacht rock also.
Is there a distinction between light rock and soft rock?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, light rock is more specific.
Okay.
Like Air Supply, for example, is certainly soft rock, not light rock.
Okay.
Yacht rock is, it's really all centered around Michael McDonald.
Ah.
He's kind of at the heart of it all. But that Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Ambrosia.
Oh, yeah.
You really get into that studio precision sound of the late 70s, early 80s. Some Christopher Cross perhaps might apply, although he's certainly made probably more soft rock than yacht rock.
He's more like a sailboat than a yacht.
The Pina Colada song would qualify. Some Robbie Dupree, you know, Steal Away, that kind of thing is certainly right in there. And it's great. And there's a band called Yacht Rock Review. And they tour and perform in like big theaters all over the place all the time. And I've never seen them. I understand they're quite good. People love them. But this was like a local yacht rock night with local yacht rock bands. Because apparently there are local yacht rock bands.
I'm having a hard time believing this.
Yeah, and it was three bands on the bill. And one of them wasn't even really a yacht rock band.
Wait, if you're not a yacht rock band, why would you pretend to be one?
It was kind of a trick. Yeah, this seemed like more of a cover band in general, like just doing 70s, 80s pop songs.
Ah.
But not much actual yacht rock. The first two bands were actual yacht rock bands. They were not great. Most of the other people in the room were drinking heavily.
Ah.
And they were delighted by the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the four of us that were there as a group that night were just kind of standing there dumbfounded by it all. It was fine because I love ridiculous things.
Yes.
And so we could appreciate how ridiculous it all was. And this was like right before Halloween, so people are in costume as well for this event. And yacht rock costumes. A lot of caps, like the captain of a yacht. Everybody's dressed like Ted Knight in Caddyshack.
Listeners could not see how wide my eyes just went because I was going to ask you, did they dress up like yachts or Yahtzee?
Yeah, everybody was dressed like the dice game Yahtzee, yes. So it was a goofy night, but I will say, though, the best thing about that night was not the bands, but the name of one of the bands. Because one of the two actual local yacht rock bands that performed was called Captain and the Stubings.
Yes.
So that made the whole thing worth it right there.
That is perfect.
Yeah. But they were fun. They did their job because the super drunk yacht rock crowd was
eating it up.
Delighted.
Or drinking it up, as the case may be.
Mission accomplished at Yacht Rock Night. Cornflake, I think we filled the whole stupid show. Just filling each other in on the weird things we've been doing. What a week.
That's my favorite kind of flopcast.
In that case, let's just go to the plugs. We have a new promo, by the way. There's a new promo for the Flopcast, which if you listen to other ESO Network shows, you might hear the way that we play promos for other ESO shows.
Yeah, we don't play our own promo.
No, I suppose we could. You want to hear the new promo?
No.
We can drop it in right now.
Okay.
You don't have to hear it right now because we'll drop it into the show when I'm editing.
You have me sold.
Yeah, all right, here it is. Yes, yes, hello. Let's talk about the Flopcast.
Every week, we give podcast listeners a chance to come and join us in Chickentown,
where we talk about Saturday morning cartoons, comics and science fiction conventions, music and concert reports, 70s and 80s pop culture, and for no good reason, chickens.
Boy, we're weird.
Oh, we are ridiculous.
We're proud members of the ESO Network, and you can find us at flopcast.net.
There, what do you think of that? So you now just pretend that you just heard it.
Oh, well, I'm still taking it all in, actually.
a lot to consider.
That was, you know, when I think of, like, the most moving and inspirational pieces I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It doesn't even come close.
Not since Captain and the Stubings have I been so moved by a piece of audio.
It was breathtaking.
Yeah. Now, that was not all completely new to you, because you were here when we recorded it.
Yes. Well, it sounded familiar.
That's our new promo. And, oh, we can plug another ESO Network show right now, specifically, in fact. And that's Pop Culture Cosmos. Because you know how I was on a couple of episodes of Pop Culture Cosmos recently?
Yes.
Talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Well, it turns out I was not on two episodes. I was on three. I didn't realize.
How did you not know?
I have to go over this with my agent because I think I was only paid for one show and they split me into three. So I think Pop Culture Cosmos owes me a lot of money, my appearance fee.
See, this is why I just don't go on any other shows.
Yeah. What's zero times three? I'm trying to figure out what my rate is that I'm owed right now. But yeah, Pop Culture Cosmos episode 114 is the third and I believe final installment of the conversation we had about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But look at Gerald getting three shows out of it.
Puts us to shame, doesn't he?
Very impressive piece of editing. And it's a fun conversation with me and Gerald and Mike Faber, director of the ESO Network. In this installment, we actually discuss, should the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame be called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I have kind of touched on this.
I think it should be called the Yacht Rock Hall of Fame. And that's a controversial standpoint.
Mm.
And I think they should induct Robbie Dupree and Ambrosia, and that's it.
I don't think I can co-sign this, Kevin. I'm sorry.
A lot of people do not agree. You're not alone in disagreeing with me vehemently. Cornflake, let's stop the show. Okay. Get us out of here.
Oh, the places you can find us on the internet. But before I get into them, with November 15th being I Love to Write Day,
yeah,
why not write us a review on Apple iTunes?
Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Whatever their kids are calling it these days.
Wherever you can write a review. Write it on a napkin and just like leave it in a bar. But no, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, write a review for the Flopcast. Let the world know what you think.
It's a lovely thought. We could use some more ratings and reviews. We don't have a lot. We have a few. We appreciate and love the few that we've gotten.
And we'd love to know what you think. So feel free to write us a review or just find us on the internet at flopcast.net or at facebook.com/flopcast or on Twitter. Our handle is @flopcast and the_flopcast is our handle on Instagram.
Yes, we cannot figure out whether or not we love writing, but we do love Yacht Rock. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants. They love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO Network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
Well, that was one of those new promos. And now, you know what that means.
Cool.
You've made it all the way through the promos to the secret after show. Cornflake, what are we doing today?
Kevin?
Yeah.
I have an update on Kevin.
Okay. Can't wait to learn about me.
No. Amesbury, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin the turkey from Amesbury, Massachusetts.
The turkey from Amesbury. Well, you know that Thanksgiving is just around the corner.
Yes.
And the mayor was making sure to pardon the turkey.
There's a turkey hanging around Amesbury, Massachusetts.
Who, by popular vote, was named Kevin.
They voted to call it Kevin the turkey. And if this sounds like a rerun from a year ago, it's because last year we met a turkey also named Kevin down in Connecticut. This is a different turkey in Amesbury, and the mayor was going to pardon it.
Yes.
Did that happen?
Not only did this turkey receive a pardon, but before I could get a chance to get to Amesbury and meet this Kevin, I think your concerns were heard. I don't know if you talked to the city of Amesbury and said, hey, this turkey is going to get hit by a car.
Yep.
By the time I could get over and meet Amesbury Kevin, the turkey had been relocated to a safer place. So I wanted to share with our secret after show listeners.
Just the after show people know the happy ending to the tale of Kevin the turkey.
Kevin the turkey the second.
That is the same thing that happened with the Connecticut turkey.
Well, yes, we think it's a different turkey. We still don't know.
How many times do we have to relocate this turkey?
Right.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.